Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Phillies Today, a podcast for 94WIP. I am Francisco Rojas. Three games in a row, baby. A three-game winning streak coming off the heels of, you know, a bad losing streak. Not fun, you know, losing two of three to the Red Sox, getting swept by the Dodgers, and that like an entire last week was, it just sucked. It wasn't fun. Losing to the Dodgers and the Red Sox. Yes, the Red Sox are better than we expected. The Dodgers are always a good team. But not fun, especially coming off, you know, the couple of weeks prior where took a three or four to Colorado, who will be the next series, and I'll preview that later in the show at the end. And then taking two of three from Seattle, who could be a World Series contender. Same thing with, obviously, Houston's coming off, their title. So, last week wasn't fun because the weeks prior to that, and this is how the baseball season goes, you guys know that. But two in a row against the Blue Jays, who also could be a World Series contender. They could possibly be the, you know, they could be a team that's going to take that next step. So, a good look, we're going to get into it. The way the Phillies won yesterday wasn't great, but a win's a win. Every team wins like this in baseball at least a few times a year. The bad teams, the good teams, the in-between teams, every team finds a way to win these games, or I guess finds a way, whatever you want to call it. Look, it was a pitcher's duel between Gausman and Wheeler. We're going to get to all of it. Layout for the show today, guys, obviously, like per usual, going to give you my quick game recap. The key moments going to be very short today because it was a very, not a super, super eventful game as far as key moments went. We'll get into the key takeaways from the win. We'll get into our series takeaways. Yes, it was only two games, but series takeaways from the series against Toronto. We'll get to your news and notes. Do have a few things to talk about there. Then we'll get to the Around the League. There was a certain milestone for a closer over there in Boston, and we'll get to that. And then preview the next game and the series against the Colorado Rockies, okay? So a lot to dive in here, okay? Definitely a lot to dive in. So let's get it started with a quick game recap. So top of the fifth, we're going to fast forward to the top of the fifth. This was a pitcher's duel. If you didn't catch the game, Kevin Gausman, who has not had a great season so far, has honestly been Toronto's probably best starter. And yes, he did get paid a lot of money, but he has been Toronto's best starter so far, and that's not saying a lot because they haven't been all that great, but he's been solid, and that was one of his best outings yesterday for Gausman. Going six innings, only giving up three hits, nine strikeouts. I mean, the Phillies could not hit his splitter. That is his signature pitch. It's disgusting, especially when he has his fastball and his splitter going. It is pretty impossible to hit. So it was just one of those days where the Phillies were just not able. And I get it. Okay. So I mean, Gausman, great pitcher, gives up only three hits, and on the other side, Wheeler. And this is more of my takeaway, so I'll get to this in a second. But just kind of, you know, for the key moments in the recap, fast forward to the top of the fifth, Brandon Belt hits a bomb off of Wheeler to make it a 1-0 game for Toronto. And then all the way to the bottom of the ninth, because not a whole lot was happening. JT Realmuto with an RBI double that brings Bryce Harper around from second base to score and tie the game. And that later that inning, Edmundo Sosa with the bases loaded grounds out to third base to end the inning to bring it to extras where we have the zombie runner, because I absolutely love the zombie runner, right? Wrong. not right. Okay, bottom of the 10th, yes, Kimbrel does his job, gets two strikeouts in the top of the 10th. Phils get to the bottom of the 10th, and Mundo Sosa right back out there to be your stupid zombie runner. Mundo Sosa scores on a ground ball. It was Harper, right? It was Harper. I just want to double check. I mean, this happened yesterday as I was about to go to bed to do my overnight shift, which I just got done from. I believe Wheeler grounded into what would have been a double play, correct? I'm looking at it. I just want to make sure I'm right here. If not, we'll come back to it. Harper. Harper grounds into force out. And Bichette, was it Bichette that missed on the throw? Was it either Bichette or whoever their second baseman is? I'm drawing a blank right now. Or was it Espinal? Either Espinal or Bichette missed on the throw to first base. Guerrero tries to field it. It was pretty impossible to field. Sosa comes all the way around from second base to score, slides in head first, Phils win somehow, some way. A team had to win, and it was the Phillies. Shout out to Harper for putting the ball in play. That's what the shift was supposed to do, right? Put the ball in play more. So there you go. Bottom of the 10th, Phils win by a score of 2-1. Dumb win, but a win nonetheless. And that's right where I slide, just like Edmundo Sosa did, right into my key takeaways. Win's a win. A win's a win, no matter what. Look, three in a row. You take back-to-back against a good team in Toronto. You get three wins in a row. Anytime you can get three in a row, especially coming off of last week where you weren't great against Boston and L.A., had some trouble there. So to get three in a row, get back into a groove, especially coming into a series against the Colorado Rockies where the Rockies are not a good team, but they are just coming off of taking two of three from the Pittsburgh Pirates, who have had a great start to their season. So, it's good to be on a hot streak going into a bad team against Colorado Rockies, but keep the foot on the gas pedal. Again, a win is a win. Back-to-back against another World Series contender. You had you took 2 of 3 from Seattle, right? You took 2 of 3 against Houston, I believe, right? So with that being said, with those in mind, okay, that's three series wins in the last couple of weeks for the Phils to, heading forward. That's a big deal, especially you're a team that won the National League pennant last year. So it is a big deal. So three in a row, back to back against the Blue Jays. Big deal to me. Keep this momentum going, especially if you're going to a West Coast trip with Colorado and then San Francisco. So. Win is a win. That's my first takeaway. Second, and this will bleed into my series takeaways, but Zach Wheeler, one of his best outings yesterday, 7 innings, 1 earned, 3 hits, 7 strikeouts. He was nails. Like I said before, him and Gausman were just really good. The entire 13 innings combined for both of them. Both of their stuff was on. Wheeler's velocity was a tick up than it's been this year. The sweeper was working, his fastball was working, sinker, everything was just working to me. The only thing that he got touched up on was the belt homer, and that was it. So Wheeler was another one of my takeaways. Zach Wheeler was phenomenal. And this is what you need from Wheeler the entirety of the season when he's one of your, two aces. I'm saying that, two aces, because we know what we like to talk about with aces in this city. Another takeaway that I noticed, and because it's kind of been a theme from time to time. Phils were 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. That's another reason why this game was close, because when you have 10, not 10 chances, but you have 10 guys, or that's how it works, right? 10 guys are runners in scoring position, I'm pretty sure. So when you have that many opportunities, I don't know if it's at bats or if that's how many runners are on in scoring position. I forget exactly how it works. I'll have to find out. But either way, 1-for-10, not good. You're only hitting 100, runners in scoring position. You need to do better. So, and I looked, and the Phillies are in the bottom half of that. They're 19th in Major League Baseball with runners in scoring position this year. That needs to be better. You need to be better, especially like, you know, especially I'm looking months ahead, but August, September, like the teams that win baseball games can, you know, have horses on the mound, have, you know, great starting pitching, you know, a good bullpen, and you have an offense that's going to score runs when it matters. And yes, technically the Phillies did do that yesterday, but it was on an error. You know, it was on an error. So, like I said before, shout out to Bryce for putting the ball in play. But, the Phillies need to be better with runners in scoring position. So the Phillies, again, 19th in Major League Baseball. This is according to Baseball Reference. But sometimes they don't update all the way. I think it was MLB.com. But sometimes these websites don't update all the way in the morning. I know Baseball Reference has trouble with that. So that might not be extremely accurate, but this is just me looking 5 minutes ago. So Phils 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. Need to do a little better. Yes, got the win, but need to do a little better going forward in that department, especially now that you have Bryce back. And again, series takeaways. And now, like I said with Wheeler, this is how I look at this. Horses looked like the horses. You had Nola game one, Wheeler game two here. Nola was good, 6 innings, 2 earned against the Blue Jays in that first game. 5 hits, 2 earned, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. Yeah, his ERA is still not looking great. But Wheeler was good. Wheeler was very good. That's what you want from one of your horses. You know, gave only 2 earned and about 6 innings. And especially, you know, nowadays, like 6 innings is, I don't want to say long, but it's higher than average, right? It feels like starters are going like 5 innings, 4 to 5, and then you're handing it off to the bullpen. So, and again, with Wheeler, this is what you need Wheeler to do. 7 innings, 1 earned. That's a really good outing. So your horses have to be your horses. For Wheeler and Nola, the inconsistency has to stop. I get it. Maybe coming off a little fatigue from the World Series last year, pitching all those innings. But at what point is that that excuse has to stop? Like, I get it. They pitched a lot. Okay? But, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, the Astros have no problem getting back there. It seems like the Astros never have a problem getting back there. So, and I get it. They have experience and, you know, you can take that a little different just because the Astros have been there so many times. But, like, I don't know. Like, at what point is it going to be it's a dumb excuse to me. Okay, yeah. Well, improve your conditioning, man. My gosh. Nolan Ryan, I got finished watching the Facing Nolan, the Nolan Ryan documentary. That guy was, I mean, I know he was a different breed, but no problem, you know, trying to go 9 every time out and, give you 300 innings a year and striking out a gazillion batters, you know, 5,700 for his career. I know it's a little different, but I just don't like the excuses of, like, oh, well, he pitched in the World Series. Well, who cares? Come on, get it together, okay? That's kind of how I see it. So more consistency from Wheeler and Nola. They looked like your horses were supposed to look this series against Toronto, and they need that going forward with Nola and Zach Wheeler, okay? Stuff looked good from Wheeler yesterday. Nola, again, better against Toronto, especially with a good lineup like Toronto. News and notes. Let's get to the news and notes. First big thing. Or, you know, I'll start off with the smaller thing because I don't think it's really that big of a deal. It's not fun, but not big of a deal. Schwarber did, foul a ball off his foot on Tuesday, and he was in the lineup yesterday. Did have 1 hit. 3 strikeouts, though. I don't think it's really affecting him, right? I didn't really notice anything. But Schwarber, this is, again, verbatim from their website. Schwarber did some pregame running drills and was penciled in the starting lineup on Wednesday afternoon, day after he left the Phillies' 8-4 win over the Blue Jays upon fouling a pitch off his left foot in the 6th inning. X-rays taken Tuesday night revealed just a bone bruise in the top of Schwarber's left foot. Quote from Schwarber, "That's the first time I've fouled a ball off my back foot. That's what I get for swinging at a ball," which is fantastic. I love that. But Schwarber should be fine. X-rays were negative, all that. He played yesterday, so there you go. Jose Alvarado, this is the bigger one. Left elbow inflammation. Doesn't sound like a great thing. Placed in the 15-day IL. This is retroactive to a couple days ago on May 8th, which was yesterday was 10th, which was Wednesday, so it was Monday. So now the Phillies are reinstating Bilotti. So, yes, you get Bilotti back, but, I mean, Alvarado has been one of the best relievers in baseball. fourth highest Fangraphs WAR this year among relievers. I mean, we know how. I don't need to explain to you how good Jose Alvarado has been. Okay. It's a loss, and the bullpen really is going to have to get it together here. I mean, I guess it's a good time for Strom to be in the pen. Kimbrel's got to be better. Soto's been better lately. He came in and shut the door yesterday I believe it was the eighth inning. Was it the eighth inning? Yes, eighth inning because he relieved Wheeler. So Soto was better, but the. Now with one of the best relievers in baseball out, that bullpen's really got to come together. Bilotti's coming back. Strom just continued to do what Matt Strom's done. Ranger's coming back. We're going to see him this series, which we'll get to in a second, in the second game, I believe, against the Rockies. So Jose Alvarado, I don't know exactly what this means. Hopefully it's not a bigger deal than just like a couple of weeks. 15-day IL isn't great. I haven't really seen too much. I'm checking Twitter now just to see if there's any updates. It's only inflammation. This is from Oscar. I don't want to get his name wrong. Oscar Budahen. It's only inflammation. Shut down for a few days. So maybe this isn't that big of a deal. I don't know. But, you know, regardless, whatever the period of time is, if it's longer than like a week, you know, bullpen's really got to get it together outside of Alvarado, just because you can't, you know, Alvarado is one of the best relievers in baseball, but the bullpen has to be super solid while he's out. So those are your news and notes. Andrew Bilotti coming back. It's a big, you know, good thing while Alvarado's out. But, you know, Alvarado's one of the best relievers in baseball. Around the league, Justin Verlander, a second start back. If you're a Phillies fan, not great to see. You know, he went seven innings against the Cincinnati Reds. And he looked like Justin Verlander. I'll tell you that. He was fine in his first outing against the Detroit Tigers, his former team. But look, two hits, one earned, seven strikeouts in seven innings. I want to see how his velocity looked. Velocity, 95. You know, but it's Verlander. He's kind of, you know, it seems like he's gotten better with age. So Verlander in their win against the Reds, big deal. He goes seven innings, kind of a Zach Wheeler start yesterday. So Verlander, great outing for Cincinnati. Kenley Jansen with his 400th save. I feel like people don't talk about like him and Kimbrel enough, and I know the save, that statistic isn't what it used to be, but the Red Sox get the win 5-2 over the Braves. Kenley Jansen gets his 400th save for the Red Sox and his former team against the Braves too, which is crazy there. So he is seventh all time now, behind Billy Wagner. Kimbrel's eighth all time now, behind Jansen, 397. You know, maybe it's some Hall of Fame talk there with Kenley Jansen. It's a possibility. Definitely a possibility. Once you reach that mark, it's really a possibility. So congrats to Kenley Jansen getting his 400th save. I mean, his velocity was nasty. I think he was throwing like 99. I don't get it. Is he like, it's doesn't make any sense to me. Right? I'm looking right now. I'm looking at the Red Sox. His cutter is like averaging 95 on his cutter, maxing out at 99. It's just, I mean, was he even doing? I feel like he has. Yeah, I guess he has. It's just because he's gotten older. It's insane. And then just a few other stats around the NL East. Told you guys the Red Sox beat the Braves. They're 5-2. And also, I want to mention Max Fried on the 15-day IL with some, I believe it's his elbow or forearm. I forget. But that's a big deal for the Braves. Nationals took the Giants 11-6. They won that game. Marlins over the D-backs 5-4. So those are your NL East games. And I mentioned to you guys Mets over the Reds 2-1. And let's just check the standings for now. Even though it's only May, we got to keep you updated on the standings, though, because I know some of you care deep down. Some of you do. So the Braves 25-12. Miami's 19-19 in second. Mets 18-19. Tie with the Phils at right there at 18-19. And the Nats 16-21. The Nationals will probably lose more games than they win the rest of the way. More than that, but we'll see. So let's get to a little tiny preview for the for this series against your Colorado Rockies. Or not your Colorado Rockies. I'm sorry. I'm not a Colorado Rockies fan. I'll tell you that. I feel bad for any Rockies fans out there because who knows what the future holds for them. But obviously the Phils coming off the Blue Jays here and coming off a couple of weeks ago where they took three or four from Colorado. You know, that was their little hot stretch. Colorado's not all that good. They're 16-22, and this is what we expected. They're not supposed to be good. Just simple stats, 14th in runs scored, their offense. Starting pitching, 25th in ERA. Relief pitching, 18th in ERA. Again, kind of expected from a Rockies team that wasn't supposed to be good. You have Chris Bryan, you have CJ Cron, you have Kyle Freeland, who the Phillies will see in this series. But not a, you know, Rocky, the Phils should definitely take two of three here. I know they, and at least when, if I feel like whenever I watch the Phils against the Rockies, they always find a way to lose these series against, you know, this team in Denver. It just feels like they always do. Hopefully it's, hopefully they can take two of three and, you know, continue, you know, win streak and just winning more games than you're supposed to lose and winning series. But, you know, you're going to face, so in, they do have tonight off. But Friday you'll get Taijuan Walker coming off one of his better starts, right, in a Phillies uniform. And then you got Austin Gomber on the other side for Colorado. And then Saturday, Ranger Suarez makes his return against Ryan Feltner, who will be on the mound for the Rockies. Feltner coming to the series, 5.08 ERA in seven starts. I mentioned Gomber. Gomber's even worse, 6.75 ERA in 33 innings, 22 strikeouts on the season. And then they'll see Kyle Freeland, who is without a doubt Colorado's best pitcher. That'll be Kyle Freeland and Aaron Nola. That'll be a bit of a you know, a possible pitcher's duel, but you know, it's never a pitcher's duel over there in Colorado. What am I even talking about, right? So hopefully, you know, Nola coming off a great start. Freeland's been pretty good this year with a 3.57 ERA for the Rockies in about 45 innings. So Phils, again, you never know in Colorado. You never know, but hopefully they can get the bats going once they're up there. Coors effect, whatever you want to call it. Phils coming up, you know, take two of three against the Rockies, then go into the series against the New York, not New York Giants. God damn it, I hate the New York Giants too. You know, against the Giants, who are also not very good, 16-20. You know, they played less games than the Rockies, so whatever. But just as many wins. So, Phils, expect them to take two of three against the Rockies. I don't care what their record's been in the Mile High City, but Phils Rockies, 3-game win streak. Going to expect more against the Rockies. That'll do it for me today. Francisco Rojas. Stay tuned tomorrow for the next episode of Phillies Today.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.